or contact your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant to learn more.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal prosecutors laid out 5 counts against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. It includes bribery, fraud, and solicitation of illegal foreign campaign contributions. Adams denies the allegations. It follows more than a year-long investigation. ABC's Aaron Katursky is in Manhattan.
Mayor Adams is going to maintain his innocence. He is also going to resist the growing calls from within his own party to resign.
President Trump hosting President Biden hosting Ukraine's President Zelensky at the White House today. The president will announce a new round of aid to help Ukraine fight Russia. Vice President Kamala Harris will also meet with Zelensky. A House task force holding a hearing on failures of the Secret Service in the wake of the July assassination attempt of Donald Trump at a rally in Pennsylvania today. Hurricane Helene churning in the Gulf and could make landfall along Florida's Big Bend tonight as a Category 4. Storm surge, torrential rain, and power outage will push inland. This is ABC. Google Maps is aiming to crack down on businesses that post fake reviews on its platform.
Google now says it's going to temporarily remove or block profiles it suspects post misleading reviews on businesses in Google Maps. It's also planning to put warning labels next to accounts that have had multiple reviews taken down. Users will be able to appeal the decisions. Fake reviews can be used by businesses to look more appealing on Google Maps, but there's also review bombing, a coordinated effort to make a business look worse than it actually is. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Kenya's president says his country will deploy more officers to Haiti in line with its goal of attaining 2,500 police officers by this January. Kenya is leading a multinational security mission in the Caribbean nation to combat the surge of gang violence. Kenya's president made the announcement during the UN General Assembly. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Okay, everyone, what did you think of the chocolate bar?
It's too chewy.
Feels kind of chalky.
Too much nougat.
I need to go brush my teeth.
Business is booming for Steph's small marketing research firm.
After all these focus groups, there's only one conclusion. I need more researchers.
And she's way too busy researching.
Does this have peanuts?
To waste time researching resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Ehlen. The mayor moved it, and now Wausau's city clerk has turned over details of the ballot drop box removal to the Marathon County District Attorney and Wisconsin Elections Commission.
Caitlin Bernardi cites state statute calling for her to report suspected election fraud, irregularities, or violations of which the clerk has knowledge to the district attorney and WEAC. Bernardi says while the box was not secured to the ground, it was locked and unable to accept ballots or other documents, and that it was her intent to have it secured and open for use this week. But Mayor Doug Denny removed the box himself on Sunday, saying he was concerned someone could walk off with it. Bernardi says for now, anyone with a ballot that they'd like to return after hours can do so in the city's regular payment box outside City Hall. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A new state program can assist owners of older homes in Wisconsin.
The More Like Home Repair and Renew Loan Program can help pay for critical repairs and improvements that increase energy efficiency, safety, and security. It provides low-interest loans between $5,000 and $50,000 to owners of houses more than 40 years old. Loans can be used for structural repairs and updates to things like roofing, insulation, plumbing, electrical, and heating and air conditioning. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A grant program from the Department of Natural Resources hopes to build up the hunting community. The DNR is taking applications for its Hunter Recruitment, Retention, and Reactivation Grant Program. Funding is used to help grow the number of hunters in Wisconsin and support new hunters who want to learn. The grant funds projects that teach people the skills, knowledge, and attitudes to be responsible and safe hunters. The total grant pool of $125,000 is available. More info is on the DNR's website. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Fantastic weather today with unseasonable warmth under sunny skies. Highs rise to near 80 degrees. Winds are calm and skies stay clear tonight too, allowing for some patchy fog possible early tomorrow morning. Otherwise, a warm day with bright skies. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 1-800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Grain and oilseed futures took another shot at trading higher today, but the market ran out of upside momentum or bullish enthusiasm, whatever you want to call it. Grains and oilseeds ended on the defensive and lower on the day. Lean hogs and cotton were also lower, but the buyers stormed back into the cattle complex.
Live from 70% status via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. Our guest analyst this afternoon is Chris Robinson of Robinson Ag Marketing. Price action and report perspective from Oliver Slope of Blue Line Futures. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler. And now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Big Apple Joe. What people need to understand is that 70% status for Big Apple Joe is better than a lot of people's 100%, you know. So it's important to remember that. How you doing, Joe? Everything good?
Yes, I think so. How about you?
I'm fired up and ready to go. We got Chris coming on. I'm looking forward to that. We've got Oliver coming up here at the end of this segment. We'll get some perspective on what happened in the grain and livestock markets today, and we will get some perspective on the quarterly hogs and pigs report from Oliver that was just released. Total number of hogs and pigs, all H&P as of September 1, up 0.46%. The trade was looking for a 0.2% increase. Kept for breeding, down 2.18%. Trade was looking for down 2.1%. Kept for marketing, up 0.69%. Trade was looking for a 0.4% increase. So, I don't know. It looks fairly neutral to me, but we will find out from Oliver and Chris what they think of the report coming up here in just a little bit. All right, let's go ahead and get to the news. Davis has got the day off, by the way, everybody. He'll be back with us tomorrow morning for the free-for-all. But let's go ahead and jump into the market news. December soft red winter wheat futures opened slightly higher and spiked resistance at yesterday's high before falling back to close near session lows. Today was the first day, however, that December SRW futures spent the entire session above 580, since July 11th, and the contract respected support at the uptrend drawn off the August 27 low. So maybe it was a little bit better than what the price change looks like. Export sales of wheat in the week ended September 19 were disappointing, just 159,000 metric tons. That was well short of trade expectations. The wheat market also factored in reports that the Australian wheat crop was clipped by severe frost in south and southeastern production areas. December HRW wheat futures 2 cents lower at 579. December SRW wheat futures down a nickel to 584 and a quarter. December spring wheat closed. Let's see, where did December's? It's not settled yet, but the last tick was at 615, down 2 cents on the day. The close above 580 in December SRW is very important, but I would like to see back-to-back higher closes above 580 to build some upside momentum in here. Export sales of corn in the weekend in September 19 totaled just over 535,000 metric tons. That also fell short of trade expectations. USDA this morning announced the sale of 115,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico in the current marketing year. That's the second daily export sales announced to Mexico this week. However, word the BNSF and Union Pacific Railroads have suspended grain shipments to Mexico due to delays at border crossings erased the bullishness of these sales. December corn opened slightly lower, rallied to within a penny of resistance at 420, then turned back to close below the opening range and near session lows. December corn futures today, 2 cents lower, 413 and a quarter. March corn down 2 and a quarter to 431. July corn futures today closed at 446 and 3 quarters, down 2.5 cents on the day. Export sales of soybeans in the week ended September 19 totaled 1.575 million metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. Support for bean prices early in the session was taken from a widespread drought in Brazil that has disrupted crop movement, the movement of last year's crop because of low river levels, and this drought has delayed soybean planting in Brazil's biggest soybean production areas. If you did not hear the conversation that I had with Dr. Michael Cordonier on this morning show, you should go and have a listen to that conversation. Adding support was the threat of heavy rain on harvest-ready beans in the southern and southeastern U.S. November bean futures opened slightly lower and rallied through resistance at Tuesday's high before sellers retook control of the soy complex. The string of higher closes in soybean oil futures came to a screeching halt. December bean oil posted a downside reversal and closed sharply lower. November soybean futures were 12 and a quarter cents lower at 1041. December beans down 12 and a half cents to 1059 and a quarter. March beans closed at 1073, down 11 and three quarter cents. The cotton crop in the southeastern U.S. is at serious risk of damage from Hurricane Helene. That helped crop futures trade higher early in the session, but support faded after mid-morning. Export sales of cotton in the reporting week totaled 88,000 bales. December cotton today was 18 points lower at 73.02. Let's see if we've got Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. Oliver, how are you today?
How are you doing? Good. How are you?
Good, man. Good. What'd you make of the Hogs and Pigs report?
Just kind of glancing over it. It looks pretty in line with expectations, so I don't know that there was a whole lot to write home about there. Coming in at, I think the average analyst estimate was 76.462 for all pigs, and we came in just a hair above that, so not a whole lot exciting there. I think the hogs are at an interesting inflection point, though. What we've done is basically came back to the scene of the crime or the breakdown point from June, and we're kind of hitting some resistance. So I think we're probably a little bit overdone on the upside and wouldn't be surprised to see us maybe set back in a little bit. And I don't know that we're going to be rolling over, but I think some consolidation and a little bit of a retracement would be healthy for the market.
Yeah, 82.50 in that October contract has just been a brick wall.
It really has been. I'm not sure what the catalyst to get out above there is going to be. I know it seems like earlier this week, a lot of tailwinds from the Chinese stimulus and some of these commodities. And my concern is that that starts to wane a little bit here now that the market has realized that and digested that. Maybe we set back in and see a little bit of volatility into the end of the month and into the quarter.
Okay. Big upside reversal in live cattle today.
A great reversal in live cattle. I was really hoping we'd get a little bit lower in that December contract to get some orders filled. Didn't quite get down there. But the live cattle look really friendly. Feeders I'm a little bit more skeptical of here in the short term, especially if corn can carve out a harvest low in the next couple of weeks. But live cattle look great. And seasonally, looking at the last 5, 10, you could probably even go back 30 years, the cattle performed really well in October. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that continue to play true this year.
All right, who's Nebraska got this week?
Oh, boy, at Purdue. I've got a goofy Illini flag flying outside house for another couple days left.
Hopefully you can get rid of that here pretty quick. Good stuff, Oliver.
Can't come soon enough. Take care.
Can't come soon enough. Thanks, buddy. Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Chris Robinson is up next here on AgriTalk.
Your needs are evolving, and so is our lineup. Firestone Ag is introducing premium Bridgestone tractor tires engineered to meet your evolving needs, especially if you have heavy on-road driving habits. Equipped with the latest tire technology, Bridgestone tractor tires are designed with enhanced wear resistance and durability. They are engineered to provide excellent traction and ride comfort on the road while minimizing soil compaction. To learn more about Bridgestone tires, visit your local certified Firestone Ag dealer or visit firestoneag.com.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here!
Whoa! That was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.org.
At Jerry Bear & Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear & Sons, just off Highway 25, Durant.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday afternoon. Yeah, like Oliver was saying, not a whole lot to read or to take from that quarterly hogs and pigs report that was just released. But nonetheless, we do have the numbers in front of us. All hogs and pigs on September 1 up 0.46. Strayed was looking for a 0.2% increase. Kept for breeding down 2.18%. The trade was looking for down 2.1%. And kept for marketing up 0.69%. The trade was looking for a 0.4% increase. I'm going to backtrack a little bit and get to some of the livestock news that I did not get to in the last segment. Beef export sales, 10,100 metric tons. We're off by one-third from the four-week average, and boxed beef trade this morning was lower. October live cattle futures gap lower, then rallied sharply and closed near session highs to post that upside reversal that Oliver and I were talking about. October live cattle were 105 higher at 184.10, and December futures gained 50.50 cents to close at 184.82.5. October feeders 90 cents higher at 246.92.5. Pork exports sales in the week ended September 19 totaled 28,000 metric tons. That was down 8% from the four-week average. October lean hogs challenged resistance at 82.50 on the open, which quickly triggered aggressive selling ahead of this afternoon's quarterly hogs and pigs report. October hogs today 45 cents lower at 82.02.5, and December hogs were down 97.5 to 73.92.5. Okay, we are waiting for Chris Robinson to hop on here with us before we get started and dive into what's happening in the markets. Gives us an opportunity to dig a little bit deeper into this quarterly hogs and pigs report. We can take a look at farrowings and farrowing intentions first. When we look at DeSFeb farrowing intentions, we're looking at 100%. So basically no change from year ago, March, May. We're looking at 100%. Dees May looking at 100%. So not a lot of change there. On the pig crop, when we look at the summer pig crop, June to August came in at 33,757,000. That was up 4% from the same time last year and up 6% from where we were a year ago. I would imagine a lot of that has to do with the number of pigs per litter. We've talked about this so many times, but the efficiency in the farrowing house is really impressive. And, you know, once we got to 10 pigs per litter saved, we thought, okay, well, that's got to be about it. We're not going to get a lot higher than that. And here we are. The total number of pigs per litter saved in the June-August period, a record, 11.72 pigs per litter. That's up 1% from the same time last year, but it's up 5% from what we saw 2 years ago in 2022. So, I mean, this is part of the issue that this hog market is having to deal with. We're taking signals and contracting in the breeding herd. The problem is that breeding herd, the smaller breeding herd, down 2%, from a year ago, is not translating into a smaller pig crop. Therefore, the total market hog numbers continue to outpace where, even if just by a little bit, continue to outpace where we were at year ago levels. And that increase in the number of pigs per litter is turning into more market hogs, and more market hogs is putting a cap on the market. There is no doubt about that. So the hog market has been dealing with these bigger numbers for quite some time, and we're just looking at roadblocks in that market above where we're at right now. Now, like I just said in the news there, October lean hogs did open above 82.50 today, and that kind of felt good. Like, oh my gosh, here we go. We're going to get some aggressive short covering going into this hogs and pigs report. But boy, once the buying dried up in that hog market, the buying really dried up and sent us to modest to solidly lower levels. A couple of other things that we can talk about in the livestock trade as we're waiting for Chris to jump on here with us. The boxed beef market this morning, the heavyweight choice graded boxed beef, down $1.53. All right. $2.96.64. So we've got back to back lower days below $300 in the heavyweight choice graded boxed beef market. That is certainly a suggestion that the market is showing some resistance to the prices that we've got in the beef trade right now. Now, today's lower prices did spur some decent movement. It's not great, but it was decent at 83 loads. So that might have erased some of the negativeness that we were seeing in live cattle and feeder cattle futures earlier this morning. But the amount of movement that we saw brought the buyers back in. And I think, you know what, guys? I think it was just a return to the realization that we're dealing with a tight supply of cattle. We are dealing with a tight supply of cattle, and the market doesn't want to back away from that. We talked about that with Mark Rempe from Quad Commodities yesterday. Just the simple fact that the tight supplies, we're not fixing that problem. We're not going to fix that problem in 2025. The earliest that we could even think about putting more beef via bigger numbers into the market is going to be 2027. I mean, we are a long, long ways from fixing the supply side issues in this market. It's going to be really, I think, it's going to be really difficult to put too much pressure on this cattle trade, just simply because the supply issue is not going to be fixed, and it's not going to be fixed anytime soon. So here we are, Oliver. I've been talking about the October contract and watching the resistance levels, the support levels in there. But Oliver was talking about the December contract, and the volume of trade is very, very quickly moving over to the December contract. But man, oh man, I tell you what, we've got that resistance at the $85 level in the December contract, rolled right up to it today, even spiked it by just a bit, rolled up to 185.12 and a half for a high today. And that was after gapping lower. We gapped lower on the open, tried to push it to the downside, but I think the supply side issues in that market were just too much for the sellers to take control of it, and the buyers regained it. Now, upside momentum is clearly in place in December live cattle futures. Upside reversals do that for you, and I think the cattle market does a nice job of respecting upside and downside reversals, much better than what the lean hog trade does. So here we are. We've got this upside reversal, but we stopped just short of that 185 level on the close, 184.82.5 on the close today. What we did do is set up for a gap higher tomorrow. Now, wouldn't that be something if we follow a gap lower day with a gap higher tomorrow following this upside reversal? I think it's possible, just simply because the cash market is not backing off. Packer margins have turned negative in cattle. The boxed beef market is backing off, but the supply side situation continues. My opinion continues to override what is happening on the demand side of the market. And until we start making, now all of this, it might sound like I expect this live cattle market to trade sharply higher or just trade straight up with no mate. No, there are going to be periods of a price flush that happens in the live cattle trade. It has to happen that way. But in this market, a price flush, to me, that's just a reset to restart the rally from a lower level that eventually gets you to a higher level further down the road. All right, we are efforting Chris Robinson. We're going to see if we can get him on the line for the next segment. We'll be back with more AgriTalk in a moment.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
It's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and recap where the markets closed today. December HRW wheat futures 2 cents lower at 579. December SRW wheat down a nickel to 584 and a quarter. December corn futures 2 cents lower, 413 and a quarter. March corn down 2 1/4 cents to 431. November soybeans 12 1/4 cents lower, 1041. January beans down 12 1/2 cents to 1059 and a quarter. December cotton today, 18 points lower at 7302. October live cattle, 105 higher, 184.10. October feeders, 90 cents higher at 246.92 and a half. October lean hogs today, 45 cents lower at 8202 and a half. Get more from Pro Farmer at tryprofarmer.com.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Fantastic weather today with unseasonable warmth under sunny skies. Highs rise to near 80 degrees. Winds are calm and skies stay clear tonight too, allowing for some patchy fog possible early tomorrow morning. Otherwise, a warm day with bright skies. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 1-800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I am your host, Chip Flory. Big Apple Joe did a little bit of scrambling for us over the break there and got us somebody to talk to. I think it's Matt Bennett. Matt Bennett, AgMarket.net. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Well, better now. Thanks for jumping on,
buddy.
Now
you got someone to talk to.
Yep. Yep,
probably not the first time you've been stood up, is it, Chip?
No, it's not. It's not. You know, that's what got me through. That's what got me through the last segment. Experience.
There you go.
Okay, so the last time we talked, you were rained out. What's going on today?
Yeah, so today's first day back in. Actually, we got quite a bit of rain on Friday, Saturday. We were just got under a couple themselves, so we have rain, of course, slated to come in tonight through Saturday. It's down to like maybe an inch and a half. I say down to because they were talking 2 to 5 for a while. We started picking corn this morning. We are going to switch over and try to cut some beans, though, because as you've probably heard from a lot of people, these beans got awfully dry on us last go around. We finally got a little bit of a second chance, so we're going to cut all the beans we can cut until it rains anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't work every year like this, but usually they dry down, you give them a shot of rain, they get some of the moisture back, and then they tend to hold on to it a little bit better, don't they?
Yeah, it sure seems like it to me. That's been our experience in the past anyway. You know, the problem that we had, of course, this first go around is, we were cutting beans with a lot of leaves and green stems and actually a few, butter bean pods, and they were testing 9%, you know. And, as you know, it costs you some money to cut beans there, so we're a little hypersensitive to it, I guess, here as we get back in the field.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Okay, so the upside momentum, the bullish enthusiasm, I know that's one of the ways that you describe it. The bullish enthusiasm kind of left us today. What happened?
You know, I talked to Michelle there yesterday at the close, and I said, you know, I just don't think that most of what we've got going on, especially with regards to beans, has a whole lot to do with fundamentals. You know, it's more to do with, of course, some technical buying after you hit some of the areas that you were hoping to hit, first of all. But second of all, of course, fund managers at the end of the quarter, end of the month, of course, they're stepping in here making things look as good as they possibly can. You know, and so a lot of short covering, if you will, has taken place over the last several days. Now, I guess, long story short, Chip, I've just looked at this as an excellent opportunity to, catch up on sales. I mean, I know we get bullish whenever the market goes up, but I just think you got to be really cautious that whenever the fundamentals don't necessarily suggest we should really be racing higher here.
Okay. Yeah. Bean oil, it had been the leader. I mean, we posted 8 consecutive higher closes in that bean oil trade, and then all of a sudden just got slammed today. The D's down 125, 42.90 on the close. I didn't see anything that really changed fundamentally there. Was it just money management and some profit taking?
I believe so. I mean, anytime you see people make that much money that quickly on a position, as you said, you know, whenever you come in here on a 7 or 8 day bender and you just continue to rally, there's no doubt that you're going to be susceptible to a major pullback. And that doesn't necessarily mean the market's not going to move on higher. Of course, world veg oil prices have been very, very strong here lately. Of course, palm oil, you name it, across the board. And so, I don't know. I'm not giving up on soybean oil just yet. Definitely one day isn't a huge ordeal, but I still think that we've got to be cautious. Even if we get that support from soybean oil, I think we have to be cautious. If we get too bullish, you know, whenever you're sitting here over a dollar off the lows, you know, and you're still looking at the kind of world in U.S. stocks that we continually look at here.
Right, right. Okay. As long as we're talking about bean oil, I'm going to ask you a question that I've been asking farmers. So take off the analyst hat and put the farmer hat on. Are you more anxious to get a farm bill done or to get the details of the 45Z credits?
The latter of the two, Chip.
45Z.
I think we just have to get details on this stuff to be able to make some plans, first of all. You know, the other thing, and I'm sure you've heard me say it, but I think, you know, people can talk politics all they want, but ultimately, you know, if we're going to get support for renewable fuels, you know, that is, in my opinion, the most important political discussion that we could have. Yes, we want to get a farm bill, no doubt about it. But at the same time, this 45Z discussion, I mean, we have to be able to understand, hey, what's it going to take to get this stuff through? You know, because I think a lot of people will decide that it's worth their time. Some people won't. It's you know, it's some of the hoops that you had to jump through earlier whenever they announced what you'd have to do as far as cover crops. I mean, that works for a lot of folks, not necessarily everyone, but we just have to get more information.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they need to make it available to more production practices. They can't get locked in on those three because, like you said, cover crops don't work for everybody. So if it's just based on that carbon intensity score, there might be a full $1.75 available, but even if the ethanol plant can get 75 cents of the $1.75 that's available, that's still something worth going after for the ethanol plant and for the producer. Yeah, I agree with you, man. Let's get the details done. Let's get them out there.
Yeah, we have to. I mean, it's going to be a huge driver potentially for us.
Yeah, no. Okay, so when you're sitting in the combine and you're harvesting this year's crop, I know you're thinking about next year's crop and some of the what you need to do to get ready You, Matt, I'm sure probably even thinking about what the marketing opportunities are on the 2025 crops. What's kind of guiding your thinking right now?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at a couple of different things, start with beans. You know, this morning you could go in and ride an HTA, you know, at $11. I mean, I don't know, Chip. I mean, there's been a lot of times here over the last a couple months that we've been worried about, hey, are we going to go under $10 and stay under 10, you know? And so whenever I look at 2011 up here at $11, I mean, that ensures pretty much anybody, you know, that produces beans next year could get $10 fall delivery beans. I think you step in and maybe HTA some of those. If you want to play, you know, a synthetic put, maybe you, you know, buy a call type situation along with that sale. That's cool. I have no issue with that. But I think that type of a sale makes sense. As far as corn's concerned, 450D corn still is just a tough one, you know, along with input prices where they're at. It seems like we're just not getting a whole lot of relief there whenever it comes to fertilizer. And so, you know, I think that a person has to be real cautious to lock in too much fertilizer, you know, without maybe going ahead and selling some corn. Even though it doesn't work great, it might work better than if we end up with a 184 national yield and maybe exports are overstated and, you know, you go down to 350 corn. I'm not saying it's going to happen. We just have to be cautious because two straight years we paid too much for fertilizer and not locked up enough corn in.
Right. Gotcha. So you mentioned that you talked to Michelle Rook yesterday. I talked to Michelle Rook this morning. She helped on the news. And when we started talking about the Chinese efforts to stimulate their economy, the comment that I made to Michelle was, a year from right now, we might be looking at back at this moment and saying, wow, that's what triggered this, you know, a commodity buying binge by China. Am I reading too much into what's happening in China right now?
I like your thinking, and I really hope that occurs. I think that we need them to buy a lot. Chip, I mean, when you look, for instance, at the soybean deal, which, of course, is going to be where they're probably going to play most of their cards, you know, the USDA's balance sheet, I think we talked about this last year for the world, you know, they use the two marketing years, and you go from around 100 million tons to 134. The Chinese, if they stepped in about 30 million tons of beans more than what we thought they were, which is extremely unlikely to happen, you know, you're still looking at more beans over the course of the 2 years. So, I mean, yeah, I really hope you're correct in that we see that kind of buying frenzy. If their economy really gets stimulated, you can't rule it out, you know, that they can step in and buy a lot. I just think that rewarding rallies whenever we've already seen some pretty tough prices is probably a little bit better than getting bullish whenever we've rallied this far off the lows.
Yeah, I tell you what, if Brazil doesn't start getting some rain here pretty soon, and Argentina, if they don't start getting some rain pretty soon, China might just need to come to the U.S. for some supplies.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt. That is your one chance to be able to step in and maybe get the kind of rally that we're talking about. But bottom line is, you don't want to wish ill will on anybody, but at the same time, I don't think anybody's going to be upset, if production isn't quite as big down there, as what the USDA is forecasting, because they're forecasting a whopper of a crop, 170. Yep. That's just a big one.
Yes, it is. When are you going to finish up harvest?
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, it depends on what this, Helene, whatever her name is, does. If she takes a left turn like they're talking, and we get 2 or 3 inches, next week's probably going to be kind of slow as well. But if we only get an inch or less, I think Monday, Tuesday, we're all going to be going. And based upon the month forecast, it looks to me like it's going to be really good harvest weather. I don't know. I'm hoping to be done by by Halloween at the latest.
Awesome. Be safe out there, buddy. Thank you so much for jumping on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. Matt Bennett, agmarket.net. Okay. I talked a little bit about the comments that we got from Dr. Michael Cordonier. I'm going to summarize some of those comments again for you in the next segment.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin-run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Experience all things electric during the 4th Annual Powered by Electricity event with Pierce Pepin Cooperative Services, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls North Hall. There'll be an EV showcase, test drive of electric vehicles, an EV roundtable discussion, electric tools demonstration, kids games, and more. Food and refreshments will be available. It's the 4th Annual Powered by Electricity event, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls with Pierce Pepin Co-op Services.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
1 in 4 car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced. Let our professional parts people test your battery for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Economics podcast featuring down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Here's a highlight of our latest episode.
I would not recommend to the farmer that he cut back on P and K for a number of consecutive years, because that then starts to deplete the soil. Then you're going to start suffering yield increases. And in order to bring that soil back to where you want it to be is going to be even more expensive, because it's going to take more larger applications to get back to that fertility level that we want to maintain. So there may be cases where, back to your direct question, where we can reduce those applications in the short term without suffering if we've done a good job with soil fertility, but not if we have low testing soils. If we have not maintained soil fertility, then it's very difficult to cut back without directly impacting yield, and that's not what you want to do, because that starts to cut into profit. So that's kind of my position on that. I like the idea of maintaining an adequate soil test. I don't need excess, but maintaining a kind of soil test that gives me that flexibility to use that bank when I need to.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That has been the Iowa State philosophy since the 50s, really. And I have just continued that. See, it is very important. That's why we define very clearly what do we mean by that category that we recommend reposition, application and removal.
If you'd like to dig deeper, listen to the full episode on your favorite streaming site or on our website, nutrien-economicswithak.com. And stay up to date with the latest crop nutrition research and news to help you make better business decisions. New episodes of The Dirt drop every Tuesday, so be sure to tune in weekly.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
All right. Again, a big thank you to Matt Bennett at AgMarket.net for jumping on here and having a great conversation with me. Getting a harvest update, some of the things that he's thinking about in the cab and when it comes to 2025 marketing. And then we talked about demand. And wouldn't it be something if China would buy, you know, his number was 30 million bushels more than what we've got him on the books for right now. It doesn't seem likely, all right? But it's like, it's a million ton. It's a lot, but it's not that much. So what could trigger that is the problem that they are having down in Brazil, South America right now. If Brazil looks like they're going to have a short crop, if Argentina looks like it's going to have a short crop, China is not going to get caught short, and they might turn to the U.S. Like I said earlier, I had a conversation this morning with Dr. Michael Cordonier. He's the Pro Farmer crop consultant from Soybean and Corn Advisor, and Big Apple Joe was nice enough to pull a clip from that for us this morning so that we can listen to it right now.
A couple of days ago, it was about 135 degrees. Central Brazil, very hot, very dry, no rain in the immediate future, maybe a little bit, you know, by early October. Now, having said that, I tell my clients, take a deep breath, just hang on. I'm not too concerned about soybeans, not yet. I am more concerned about the safrinha corn. You know, the soybeans, you got to remember, about three-quarters of the soybeans in Brazil are planted from about October 10th to maybe November 25th. So three-quarters of the soybeans are planted, you know, end of October, early November. So having a late start like right now is not that much of a concern for soybeans if the weather cooperates later on in the season. But the later you start for soybean planting, the more delayed the softening your corn. And that becomes a big concern. So right now, I think corn is the first issue in Brazil and soybean second. But this weather pattern, it's just unbelievable in Brazil. Rivers in northern Brazil are running dry. Can you believe that? Tributaries to the Amazon. They're stopping shipments. Barges are running aground. They're redirecting some shipments down to southeastern Brazil instead of the Amazon area. And it's been 2 years in a row now. So the dry season started early. And the last rain in Mato Grosso was about the third week of April. We haven't had any since. And there's none in the forecast, at least not in the near-term forecast. So the dry season started early, and it's stretching on longer than what anybody anticipates. Now, agronomists are telling farmers, be patient. Don't run out there and plant in the dust. You'll have to be replanting probably if you do that. Yeah. So just wait. Get your 1, 2, 3 inches of rain. Cools off the soil temperature and allows for soybeans to emerge.
Right, right. Yeah, the margins are tight enough on production down there that you don't want to be screwing around and having to do it twice, right?
Oh, absolutely not. And if you got to replant, it's going to cost at least 10% more in right. your cost of production. So they're telling the farmers, at these prices, you don't want to have that. So right. be patient. Just make sure your first crop is good of soybeans.
Yep.
That's your bread and butter. The second crop is icing on the cake. So make sure the first crop is good.
So what are you looking at as far as acreage expansion this year?
I got the Brazil soybean area up 2%.
Okay.
And that's less than years past. You know, it's been running 3 or 4% the last couple of years. And when it was really high prices 3 or 4 years ago, it was running much higher than that. So 2% expansion, which is okay. But the yields are going to be, well, I think the yields are going to be better this year than last year if the weather cooperates. Now, right. I'm actually a little bit more concerned about Argentina. You know, okay. they're cutting back on their corn acres, doing more soybeans, and we have a La Nina developing, and Argentina is hot and dry too. And there's no guarantee that they're going to have rain in Argentina. Right. Once you get to the central Brazil, it's tropical. It's going to rain, period. Just give it time, right. it'll rain.
Yeah. Yeah, just give it time and it'll rain in tropical areas of Brazil. Again, big thank you to Dr. Michael Cordonier for bringing us that perspective. And the bottom line there from early in those comments from Michael is it's a bean story, yes, because we are delaying the plantings, but there's a big window for bean plantings in Brazil. It means that it's a corn story right now because the longer we delay the planting of that first crop of beans, the longer we are delaying the harvest of that bean crop, which means the longer we are delaying the planting of the Safrina corn crop. So their acres on the corn crop are going to go down. And I mentioned the margins on bean production down there right now. You look at the margins on their corn, it's tighter than what it is on beans. So if they're not getting any incentive to go out and plant that corn crop, that Safrina corn crop, which accounts for about 3/4 of Brazilian corn production, that Brazilian corn crop is going to be much smaller for the 2024-25 marketing year than what is built into the balance sheets right now. And like Michael said there at the end, boy, watch what's going on in Argentina. They are dry, dry, dry. And there is no automatic seasonal trigger that brings in the wet season in Argentina like there is in the northern production areas of Brazil. National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook for October 2nd through the 6th. Above normal temperatures expected over most of the Corn Belt. The exception is the far southeastern areas, southern Indiana, southern Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, looking at near normal temperatures, but above normal temperatures in the central and western Corn Belt, below normal precipitation expected over the entire Corn Belt. Jump out to the 8 to 14 day. This is for October 4th through the 10th. Above normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt. Below normal precipitation expected over the entire Corn Belt. This is, boy, you guys be safe out there, because when after this round of rain in the Eastern Belt, it's going to, the forecast says it's going to get fit, and you guys are going to run and run hard. I know you're going to, so be safe out there. And be prepared for it. Thank you so much for listening. Come back tomorrow morning, Free for All. Wiesmeyer, Haney, Michelson, and me. Tomorrow afternoon, Angie Setzer.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
Making an Impact, sponsored by Grainger.
Students attend Girls State to join in an exercise in democracy. This participant was glad to be part of it.
Left or right, just participate. Participate in democracy. There'd be a lot more representation of women. It would help more people get up and exercise their voice.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies.